Dear God, thank you for this day. We come to you with some troubles and with some joys. Thank you for everything you give to us, and thank you for the Sabbath day, this day of rest. Please help it to be a good one, and for us to remember you throughout this day and throughout the rest of this month, because a lot of exciting stuff is happening. We love you, God. Amen.
Let's stay standing and sing hymn number 604, We Know Not the Hour.
We know not the hour of the Master's appearing, yet signs all foretell that the moment is nearing. When he shall return, 'tis a promise most cheering, but we know not the hour he will come. Let us watch and be ready, he will come. Hallelujah, hallelujah, he will come in the clouds of his Father's bright glory, but we know not the hour. There's light for the wise who are seeking salvation. There's truth in the book of the Lord's revelation. Each prophecy points to the great consummation, but we know not the hour he will come. Let us watch and be ready, he will come. Hallelujah, hallelujah, he will come in the clouds of his Father's bright glory, but we know not the hour. We'll watch and we'll pray with our lamps trimmed and burning. We'll work and we'll wait till the Master's returning. We'll sing and rejoice, every omen discerning, but we know not the hour he will come. Let us watch and be ready, he will come. Hallelujah, hallelujah, he will come in the clouds of his Father's bright glory, but we know not the hour.
Thank you, and be seated.
Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
For those of you that don't know, I teach at Newbury Park Adventist Academy. It's a great school. It's a plug. Send your children there. Okay. And I teach history, and it's a lot of fun. Love history. And right now, we're studying World War II, but of the various wars, the more contemporary wars, I try to get different veterans to come in and talk to the kids because it hits home more. And these veterans like to come in, and more than one have told me this is the reason. They said, the information that's in the textbook, what little there is, it doesn't really tell you much what happened in the war. That it's very brief, you know, the textbook. So they want to come in, and they want to share their story because it's so important to them. And so I have guys from the Iraq War, you know, Afghanistan. They came to Vietnam, and actually this past week, I had a gentleman that came in, and he lives right in Thousand Oaks. He's 88 years young, and he fought in World War II. And he was a gunner in one of these planes. And he went over 36 missions, and he actually flew on D-Day, the Battle of Normandy. Anyway, he was just sharing so many interesting things. And one of the things that hit really hard, one of the kids asked him, he says, "What is the toughest thing now for you in remembrance of what you went through?" And he said that when they would fly up, they'd go in a squadron, they'd be in 16. They'd go up. And four planes would stay really close to each other, watching each other. And he said, you had these earphones on, and he said, you were in communication with the other planes. And he said, the most nightmarish thing, he says, when you saw one of your buddy's planes getting hit, and as it's going down, he says, at most, it takes about 25, 30 seconds before they make impact. And he said, you could hear the guys that were going down say, tell my mother I love her. Tell my wife I love her. You know, and this type of thing. And one of the I thought was telling was that he said, you know, take time to talk to the older generation. Take time to talk to your grandparents. Find out as much information you can about their life, because that enriches who you are, and it tells you who you are. And all of these vets that came in, they would say the same thing. We have such important information, we want to share it with you, we being the older generation. Well, the tithe, the offering today, is for conference developing ministries that are going on. And as important as that information that these vets share, we even have a greater story to tell, don't we? So important. And these developing ministries that go on within the conference, they either take place within our churches to nurture the message that we already are aware of, or to go outside of the church and spread the gospel, that good news. That's so important to other people that don't even know the message. So we would encourage you to give as your heart tells you to give. But this money goes towards that very thing of sharing such important news that is the most important news in the world. I'd like to invite our deacons to stand for the offering. Okay, 3 out of 4? Good. You're good. Okay. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the opportunity to worship with you. And we're also thankful that you involve us in your service. We pray that you will be with the money that is given today, and that it goes towards various ministries to spread the good news and to let others know of your love. We love you, and we ask these things in your precious name. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, if you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles. Or you can look up on the screen if you want to cheat. Chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. May the Lord add his blessing. Let's kneel if you are able, and we will have our morning prayer. Loving Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this Sabbath day. We thank you for the many blessings that you give us each day. You give us sunshine and a lot of nice weather here. And we just thank you for the friends that are here today, for the church family that we have. We thank you for the visitors that have come and that wish to worship as well. We thank you just for the food that we eat each day and for the shelter that you give us. Sometimes we may not have a lot in this life, but we know that you suffered much more than we can ever imagine, and you did it for us. Lord, we recognize and we thank you for being our Redeemer and our Savior. We do pray for those that are hurting right now, whether it's a spiritual hurt, whether it's a physical pain or a sickness, and we just bring them to you, and we leave them at your feet, knowing that they're in the best hands that they can be in, when in your care. Today we pray that you would be with the pastor as he gives the message today. I pray that you would guide his lips and that you would guide our ears to hear your word as well, that we may have receptive hearts to do your will and to learn of you. We love you, we thank you, and we praise your name this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Today and saw the number, the name on the sign out front, A Family United. I'm here to report that the Dickinson clan is happy to be a family united. Amen. And so we will look forward to our pastors telling us in regards to a family here in Camarillo, our Camarillo church family. And what a thrill to be a grandfather and to be able to sing with a grandson. Amen. Very special. Happy Sabbath day.
Explain, but I can say, glory, hallelujah, praise his holy name. Oh, God is so wonderful, I can't explain, but I can say, glory, hallelujah, praise his holy name. It's wonderful because he saved me. It's wonderful that he forgave me. It's wonderful, wonderful, so very wonderful, wonderful that he is mine. I cast on him my every burden, lay at his feet my every care. It's wonderful, wonderful, so very wonderful, wonderful that he is mine. can't explain, but I can say, glory, hallelujah, praise His holy name. Wonderful.
Mr. Will.
Yes, sir.
I understand you're leaving me today.
I am.
Where are you going?
I'm going back to the Fellowship Hall.
What?
The Fellowship Hall.
Now?
Now. And I'm taking people with me.
What?
Mm-hmm. From this very room.
That sounds like a song. But that's not music to my
close.
Ears. You're taking people from...
Yes, the sheep, some sheep will be going to another pasture.
Is it greener?
No. Same property.
Oh. Well, which of your sheep are you taking? You're not taking my lambs.
We are. We're taking every parent of a babe through youth will be coming with me to the Fellowship Hall.
Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm. And everybody, otherwise, visitors included, get to stay here.
Oh, thank goodness. Mm-hmm. All right.
Nothing against the visitors, but...
And why are we doing this?
They're going to find out.
Ah, you're not going to tell us.
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, let's see how this works today.
All right.
All right.
I'm ready. Are
you
guys
ready?
Are you ready?
All right.
So, all parents and children of birth to youth, come with me to the Fellowship Hall.
Oh. Oh.
Enjoy, Pastor.
Oh.
You go. Come on. All parents and their children up through youth, come with me.
Oh. They get a children's story. Wow. All right, shut those doors before anybody else leaves. You may wonder what's happening today. Well, Pastor Will and I are going to tell our separate congregations this morning what's up. Now, what has been our theme for the last two Sabbaths? Family, that's right. How many of you are part of a family? All right. That's good. I mean, if you didn't raise your hand, that's because you couldn't hear. We're all parts of families, aren't we? Families are very, very, very important. And I want to share some pictures of a family. Can we do that, Carol? I may be a little bit out of order here, but we'll do that. I want to show you a picture of a family and see if you can figure out who this family is. Who is that? Oh, I see some fingers pointing. All right, I think there's more than one picture. Ah, now if we showed that one first, would you have known who we were talking about? Isn't she gorgeous? She still is, by the way. Now we won't, now is there a current picture? No, no. What are we going to do? Dolores, you're going to have to stand up. All right. This is Dolores. For those of you that don't know Dolores, not meaning to embarrass you, but you were brave enough to give us your picture today, so thank you. Now, you notice if you've looked at the family bulletin board out there, it's filling up. Isn't that cool? Well, somewhere on that board are Rochelle and I. How many of you have figured out where we are? Oh, I see a few hands. Okay. Keep looking. It was in my previous life. 70-ish. That helps. That'll tell you a little bit. Rochelle has always been beautiful, but she was, you know, she made my day. She made me look really good in that picture. But so see if you can find us. Family is important, very important. I want to read a scripture text this morning. Paul opens the book of Ephesians with these words. Ephesians 1, 1 and 2. To the saints, I'm moving through that, who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let those words just sink in. Now, here's what struck me about these two verses. There are some words used here that we're not accustomed to using. For instance, to the saints. Who was Paul talking to? The Ephesian church members. And he referred to them as saints. Isn't that cool? Now, were they perfect people? No. And you'll find out more about that in a little bit. But he refers to them as saints. What is the other key word there in that first verse? To the saints who are in Ephesus and what? Faithful in Christ. Puts those words together. Saints and faithful. That's good, isn't it? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch the screen to see what's coming next on the book of Ephesians.
It was in the year 60 AD that Paul decided he would write a letter to his friends in Ephesus. He didn't decide to write the letter because they needed correcting. He decided to write the letter because he was their friend and they needed to hear from him. He would address several things in this letter, and he would start out with the most important thing of all. And just what was the most important thing of all? To the apostle, it was the importance of talking to them about all they had received when they received Christ. And then he wanted to talk to them about the true nature of this wonderful thing called the church. He would liken the church, in metaphor, to four different things. He would liken it to the body. He would liken it to the bride. He would liken it to the temple. And he certainly would liken it to the soldier. As he puts forth these four metaphors, wonderful things began to develop in their imagination because he's aiming first of all and foremost at talking about unity. There are barriers to unity in the church. The apostle knew this. They would need to stop gossiping and backbiting and hating and saying ugly things about each other. So he addressed that need. And when they put it all together, they would arrive at what Paul believed the church should be, a picture of living unity, where brothers and sisters met and loved each other in the work of Christ.
Turn again with me, if you would. Hold that thought for a moment. Pop up our next goal for me. Yes. From the ones Will sent us, the one on mission and values. The reason that we have separated today for this worship hour is because we want to use your creative minds. We want to find out, we being the leaders of your church, want to find out where our values and mission are today. How many of you have values? How many of you have a mission? Or are you thinking about it? How many of you have a vision for where you want all of that to go? Good. So this is going to be really easy today. Very easy. So we want you to think about that. But as you're letting those three things, vision, mission, and values, just kind of roll around through your mind, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, beginning with verse, we already read 12 and 13, and let's go on to verse 14. Verse 14 says that we should no longer be what? Children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Ay, ay, ay. Pastor Dennis, what's up with that verse? Well, think about it. What's going on in your world today? A lot of truth out there, yes or no? Yeah? But is that all that's out there? No. There's a lot of deceitful stuff out there in the world today. A lot of it. And you don't have to listen or read much to discover all of that that's going on out there. How is that impacting your children? Is it? Now, it's not going on in your homes, right? How do you not control it in your home? I mean, you know, it's a challenge, Mom and Dad. I'm not putting the guilt trip on it. I'm just being honest. I mean, it's everywhere. You turn the TV on. Doesn't matter if you're watching a TV program or commercials. I mean, it's everywhere. The deceitfulness is there. The devil is working overtime to grab you. He was here this morning trying to grab us. Did you know that? We have to be careful. We have to be alert. We have to be on target. But continuing on, Paul doesn't quit there. He goes on in verse 15, but speaking the truth in what? Whoa. Okay, we're getting down to the nuts and bolts. When your children hear you speak, when they hear us speak, what do they hear? Do they hear love? Or do they hear trickery? Or do they hear craftiness? Do they hear deceitfulness? Or the truth in love? That speaking the truth in love may grow up in some things. Is that right? No, in all things into Him, Jesus, who is the head. From the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part, how many parts? Every part does its share. Every part does its share. Causes growth of the body for the building up or edifying of itself in love. Can you argue with that? Are we doing that here? Are we doing it as well as we could or should be doing it here in our church and in the programs and ministries of our church? What is the mission? Again, going back to vision, mission, and values, what about those three things? Well, I would be the first to tell you that from the pastoral standpoint, Will and I always have room for improvement. We're human, just like you. And who all are the ministers of this church? Is it just Will and I? Absolutely not. It's every one of us. All of us. Paul just told us that, didn't he? In writing to the Ephesians. Every one of us has a role to play and a part to play in our church. and in our church family. So what about our church family? I'm going to call your attention to the bulletin board again. It's taking shape. But now I want to ask you a couple personal questions. Are we comfortable with where our brothers and sisters, boys and girls, moms and dads, are in their walk with Jesus? Are there things we could be doing better? Could more of us be involved in training our young people to be disciples of Jesus? Or is that somebody else's job? Now, if I read verse 16 right, it said all of us are part of the body, aren't we? There is no excuse for not doing our part, regardless of who we are in this church. You know, I heard, and this was not by wills and my design, but it was because I'm not even sure Steve knew what we were talking about today, what our main thrust was, because we hadn't talked about it. And what was the example that you used? World War II, vets. And how over time they became, you know, they're listening for each other in those planes during horrific, stressful times. And the worst sound of all was that plane and the vision of that plane headed for Earth. In those 20 or so seconds that you talked about, that those men had, remember who? Remember my wife, my mother, my children, family. We go back to family, don't we? Eldon and his grandson, Brett, talking about what? Family. Grandpa and a grandson giving us special music and doing the welcome today. Now, that was by design. But very appropriate, isn't it? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I have a feeling that there are a few of us grandparents, there are a few of us parents that are praying for our children. There are a few of us children, brothers and sisters, who are praying for our parents and our brothers and sisters who aren't walking the walk that Jesus wants them to walk. So our mission as here in the Camarillo Seventh-day Adventist Church has another interesting dialogue or dimension to it that I want to share with you in just a minute. But as you're thinking about the things that I'm commenting on today, are there any regrets that you have? I know as a parent myself, if I had the opportunity to do some things over again with my own kids, there would be a lot of things that I would change. Now, I can beat myself up with that. Or I can give my children to Jesus all day, every day, and let Jesus take care of them. And pray for the opportunity to have a second chance. Does that make sense? How many of you here had a second chance? How many have had a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, a seventh, and, you know, too many to count? That's all of us, actually. We're all in a hospital today, aren't we? Do you know what I mean by that? This is where sinners come to be made healthy and strong and receive the saving grace and power of Jesus Christ. What about our children? Another concern. Before we take our survey, are we ready to pass those out? Good. Let's go ahead and pass those out. And while you're doing that, you are each going to receive a survey that I'm going to ask you to work on here in just a moment. And each of you needs to, we really need this from you, and you're going to turn this in. Don't put your name on it unless you want to. That would be your personal choice. We're not asking you to identify who you are, but we want you to be blatantly honest with yourself. As we look at the mission, vision, and values of who we are, we're going to look at that. And here's why, or one of the reasons why we want your help. Will did a recent survey with your youth. And here's what the basic question he asked them: to give us a view of how you perceive our church today. So it was an open-ended question. There wasn't any check this box, that box. They had to write down what they thought and felt are the four top qualities of our church. And I'm putting them in the order that they put them in. The first one: our church is a friendly church. Is that good? Absolutely. That's a good thing. Our church is a friendly church. Number two: our church is incredible with food. I think I put the word incredible in there. But obviously, food was number two on their list. Now, that kind of doesn't need a whole lot of explanation, because if you're a teenager, especially a male teenager, food is really important. Number three, lots of music talent. And number four, great at promoting healthy living. Four things. Are those bad things or good things? They're all good, aren't they? But what's missing? God, relationship, family relationship piece is missing. Friendliness is part of that. Food is part of that. Musical programming and being blessed with music is part of that. And promoting healthy living is very good, and it's part of that. But what is missing? What value? Prayer. Prayers, the spiritual piece is not there. Is that troubling to you? It is to me. That's a huge hole. So we're great at building healthy relationships. But are we missing when it comes to equipping our young people to be disciples? You know, I don't think we're totally off track with that. I'm interested to see, I'm biasing maybe what you're writing down on your sheet. I hope I'm not doing that, but I think you needed to know where they were coming from. So what do we need to do as the grown-ups in this church, okay, to make a difference in the lives of our babies through our collegiate age and young adult members? Now, how many of us have a piece in this? Paul's words said that we all have a part. You know, one of the most critical things about a church family, and one of the most dangerous about us, is when we are critical. Have you ever experienced criticism from somebody? There's constructive criticism, and there's destructive criticism. Big difference between the two. How many of you have been the recipient of constructive criticism? All of us have. How many of you have been the recipient of destructive criticism? Far too many of you have. Boy, sharp tongues can just be the arrows that pierce the heart. And when you're a little child and you're hearing your parents, you're hearing grandparents, you're hearing other members voice those criticisms, it hurts. And they're soaking it in. And their opinion and value of who you are at that moment goes to the basement. They would say at that moment, I don't want to have anything to do with that person. I'm going to run as fast as I can in the opposite direction. And they're going to stay away. That's how damaging that kind of destructive criticism can be. so critical. You know, you're not, you can come to me and you can do that to me and I can roll with the flow. But children, you're teenagers, you're young adults. Whew. They are not going to darken our door again if they can help it, if they are being destructively criticized. Wow. Pastor Dennis, I don't know about you, but we've got to make sure that doesn't happen, don't we? Got to make sure. You know, if you're in a conversation with another adult and you are criticizing somebody, I'm deaf. I would probably not hear that conversation unless I was looking right at you. But you take a child out there, and their hearing will pick up stuff. This can happen at home. This can be in your home. You can be talking to your spouse. You can be talking to somebody on the phone, and they will pick up on what's going on real fast. And they'll remember that. Worse yet, they'll emulate that. Well, it was okay for you. Why isn't it okay for me? So, we want to avoid that, don't we? Well, let's take a look at, I may have somebody help me. Have I been talking too much? Do I need to give you some more quiet time to keep working on your form? So let's look at, pop those up. The next one, Carol, please. Let's look at number one. What are your top five current values as a follower of Jesus? Is there anybody that would be willing to share? Who do I have that would run a mic for me? Steve, great. If you're bold enough and brave enough to raise your hand to give me at least a value or two. Anybody? Raise your hand and we'll bring the mic to you. Yes. Yes, you know, because see, the passage I read in Ephesians is out of the section on spiritual gifts. I didn't tell you that, did I? But we all have spiritual gifts. We all do. All right. Steve.
Okay.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
To another Steve. Steve to Steve. Good to see you, Steve.
Thank you. It's good to see you too, Pastor. Thank you. I'm going to sum it up in two. I'm a sinner, so one of my first things is always praying for forgiveness of the sins I've committed and trying not to commit those same sins anymore in my life. And the second thing is praying that the Spirit of the Lord will fill me and that I will be a reflection, and when people hear me talk, that they'll hear the Spirit of the Lord talking. And I think if we can break ourselves down and accomplish those two things, realize we're sinners and pray for our sins, and really strive for our sins, and pray for the Spirit of the Lord, because it's not a walk, it's something inside of you.
Thank you. I hear relationship in that. Do you hear that too? Having that relationship with Jesus that is so powerful, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, we become transformed, we become new disciples of Jesus. All right. Anybody else? Oh, you're being awful quiet this morning. You didn't know this was going to be a church where you could participate, did you? All right. Roy.
I think what's really important is the importance of understanding what values there are in
yes.
being united with the church and really being a part of that family and looking at it as a family, willing to do for each other what a family really does.
Amen. Amen. Willing to do for each other what family really does. When you have a family member that's hurting, what happens in your family? Do you ignore that person? No. you reach out, don't you? But you know what? Sometimes we're more willing to reach out to a neighbor or somebody outside of our family quicker than we are to somebody within our own family. And there can be reasons for that, I understand. You know, things can get kind of messy and complicated within families sometimes. That's sad. We want to eliminate that. We want to prevent that from happening. And that's part of why we're having this discussion. For our church to prosper and grow, we need to make sure that our values are clearly understood and appreciated. And the values of our little ones through our young adults are clearly understood and valued. Let's go to the second question. What are the top five values of the Camarillo SDA Church? This is a little different one now. This is our church. What do you perceive as our top five values here in our church? Take a moment. You may be a visitor today, and I see a visitor or two that I'm glad are here and are staying here because this is important. I want our values, the unity in this family, to just accelerate to its highest level ever. Isn't that what Jesus wants? I want what Jesus wants. And you do too, I know. That's so important. What are the top five values of the Camarillo SDA Church? You know, as we, as a family and church, take an honest, bold, fresh look at who we are, where we are, and where we desire to be, this is important to keep all of this, not just today. This is we want our church to move where this becomes a growth. Steve.
I think one of the things that our church does is they really nurture our youth. They like to get our youth involved in various types of ministries and participating in the church service, which I think is very important.
Amen. Yes. Anybody? Oh, great.
One is the health message because it's the entering wedge.
Very good. Health ministry because it's an entering wedge. It is important. You know, and they recognize that. That's very good. You know, I want to thank Dr. Lowe, who's never, you know, David never ages. Have you noticed that? He's as young now as he was when he graduated from Newbury Park. Well, almost. I haven't seen this picture yet up on the board, so I'm looking for it. But I love his zeal. He's young at heart. He's fun to be with, as all of you are as well. All right. Yes. Oh, good.
Just one of the things that I recall when I first started attending my new church family was I remember how welcoming it was, and it was just an easy fit for me. It was not a question of, do I want to stay here? It was, this is my new home. So I think one of our goals and values is in welcoming and loving everybody mm-hmm. who's coming in to be with us.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. That is important, isn't it? Is there anyone here that wasn't greeted this morning when they came in? Ooh, that's a dangerous question to raise, isn't it? For fear somebody might raise their hand. But that's all right. We got to be honest, don't we? You know, the goal is that when you walk in the door, the first person you see reaches out to you, even though they may not recognize you. Now, and the other is true as well. When you walk in, if you show yourself friendly, you're going to quickly make friends, aren't you? So it works both ways. I know that. We know that. But I have experienced that. I remember many years ago, I walked into a church in Northern California with another friend of mine. We had just moving to that community, and not one person spoke to either of us during the entire church service. We left without a person asking our name. They knew, had to know we were visitors. I mean, come on. But that was back in the early 70s, so you know, I may have looked a little different back in those days. Just a little. At least my hair-wise. And weight-wise, yeah, that too. Anyway, but church needs to be friendly, doesn't it? All right, let's go to the next question. What should the top five values of our church be? Now, this one, what should the top five values of our church be?
They're so shy.
They are shy today. This is amazing. They're amazingly shy. Roy, did you have a... I saw Roy moving.
Well, our values should be reflecting Christ and his mission to us,
yes,
to go out into all the world.
Yes.
So evangelism should be very important to
Correct.
Us. And evangelism starts at home.
Yes, it does.
And so we have to build the home. We have to build the church.
That's right.
And we have to build the community.
That's right.
Forsake not yourself, the assembling of yourselves together, as some do. Church is important. We need to be a part of God's army.
Amen. Remember what Dr. Miller pointed out about Ephesians? There are four metaphors in the book of Ephesians: body, bride, temple, and soldier. Body, bride, temple, and soldier. What about the body? Whose body is it? Our body is the
temple of God.
Temple of the Holy Spirit. That's where he dwells within us. He doesn't, yeah, he's out here, but he can't change your life until you invite him in. And so when you open your heart to Jesus, that's when he can take over. Body. Bride? That's an easy one. What are we? In the metaphor of heaven. We are the bride. Jesus is the groom. We come together while the door is open. We want to make sure that the door is open to our children and to our young people and to people of all ages, all races, all social classes. We want to have a warm and welcoming family, don't we? Then you have the temple. Your body is, again, the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is where he lives now. You actually don't have to come here, do you, to worship him? He's with you sometimes or always. Always. Isn't that great? Why do we then come to church? Because the body needs. We need the arms and the legs. We need the fingers. We need the feet. We need the minds. We need the creativity. We need the teaching that you can give to these little ones. We need the mentoring component. You all have fabulous stories to tell. You don't have to go to a book or the internet to get stories. Just start sharing your stories about how Jesus has changed your life. We all have had experiences, many experiences. Some of you have had miraculous experiences on more than one occasion. I think of, if I may, Eldon, I think of Eldon. Eldon's a walking miracle. It's a little harder for him to walk right now. But when you think back at the miracles that you have experienced, it's been amazing. God has been, yes, praise the Lord, doing wonderful things. Now, it doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes, in Bill's case, bad things happen to God's precious men and leave widows behind. We don't like that. I don't like that. You don't like that. But you have this mixture. But that's why we need family. That's why family is so important. And our children. Oh. Our children. are facing some really challenges. Did you know that? Your grandchildren. Some of you have great-grandchildren. Think of the different world they're growing up in today. When Rochelle and I were in the San Antonio airport, there was a family sitting there, and they had their youngest child in a stroller. I'm guessing at the most a year old. I don't think it was that old. And guess what it had in its hand? Its iPod. It wasn't even talking yet. And I'm going, how did they do that? I still have my archaic cell phone. I can't even text yet. I got to fix that, I know. But my point is, these kids are getting stuff thrown at them. They're hardwired for this stuff. It's like nothing to them. It's like, what took you so long? So if you're having a computer problem, you know, and my grandson was here, I would say, hey, fix it for me. And he'd do it. I have to now rely on Rochelle, you know? I'm giving away my secrets. Obviously, I'm not a techie. I'm old. But I know I have to move in that direction. You know, my son is saying, Dad, you know, if you upgraded your communication ability, I would be sending you pictures. So I still have a computer. Duh. But anyway, I'm off track here a little bit. What does that have to do? Well, let's think about our children. In the ministries of this church, are we comfortable with the ministries we have? What ministries do we have outside of Sabbath school and outside of church that are preparing our children for heaven? And I'm going to go another step. What about those of us in the adult world? We're living in a crazy, crazy world. And Will and I are coming to the conclusion that it's almost impossible to do any programming in the evening during the week. And there's a reason for that. Because there's a little league of some sort, or there's an activity, academy activity going on. There's stuff that fills families' calendars, sometimes on the weekends too, which makes programming in the youth department, or particularly with our youth and our collegiates, really challenging and difficult. But we gotta work around those. We gotta find a way to work around those. So what are we going to do? So as we think of the future, how do we change that? How do we maybe relook at our overall church program to build the ministries of our church so they can be truly effective and really, really provide the growth potential for our children to understand the values, the mission, and the vision Jesus wants us to hang on to.
Dennis?
Yes.
I'm over here.
Ah!
You no doubt.
I saw Steve walking down there. I just thought he was coming to sit down.
You no doubt saw that.
Yeah.
We did. Yeah. I don't know if it was a review or what, but the success rate of keeping children in the way, if you please, the truthful way, by those of us who are senior citizens in the church to address the kids in the church by name if possible.
Yes.
And that is a wonderful way to the 80% down the line, keep on following Jesus. And so that's something that we can do as a church family body.
I don't know, though. How do you do that? We have a lot of kids. Have you noticed that? I mean, there are some Sabbaths when you'll have almost 40 kids sitting up here. Use the picture bowl. There we go. All right. That's duh. Why do we think we have it, right?
Might even put a name sticker Sabbath morning on there.
We can do that. Front. We've done that before.
So we could read.
Yes. Well, let me. I need to run with this one here for a moment because that is huge. That's why I have failed, but I'm trying to to remember all the names of the children in our church. Now, it becomes really challenging for the senior pastor, who is senior in more ways than one, to remember all of those names. I'll remember the faces, but the names can be so challenging. But they're very forgiving. And when I forget, I'll say, I forgot your name, Pastor Dennis, and they'll laugh and they'll give me a high five and a bump and we're good. But they are so neat. We are so blessed.
Could we feature a couple of children every Sabbath in our bulletins?
And great idea.
Have their pictures and who their family is so that we can get to know them.
Good idea.
And then they would also become our prayer list.
Excellent.
For that week.
Write it down. Make sure it's on that handout.
I think one of our key problems is the high level of exhaustion of parents at home. And we can do all kinds of wonderful things for children here at church, but the reality is the greatest influence is at home. And I think we really need to look at ways to deliberately and consistently support the parents of the young children, support them in their marriages, do things that takes the stress of life off of them. I mean, the reality of it is life is so different now with, you know, often both parents having to work outside the home. They desperately need our support to help them hold their marriages together, help the marriages to be good so that the children are observing a solid marriage at home, so that the parents have the time and energy and patience to work with the children at home. I just see that being, you know, a real root foundational issue and area we need to really look at for ministry.
Amen. I love it. Let's carry that thought a little further. For those of us that are in the mentoring mode, pick a family and become mentors to that family. Drop a note of encouragement to that family during the week. You don't have to even go buy a card. Just take a little piece of notepaper, write it out. Just something small, just to let them know, I'm praying for you, I'm praying with you, we love you and appreciate you. Just little things. But yes, being there to support those families. Call them on the phone. If you're really brave, give them a night out. Take care of their children for an evening. Do something really significant and special for them to let them know that we care. I'm looking at the clock. Go ahead. Pizza. Yes. Great. Call them up and tell them, don't fix supper tonight. Pizza's on its way. Let them know so they know how to plan, because mom may be sweating away in the kitchen otherwise, and you want to give her a break, right? Excellent suggestion. So there's zillions of things we can do that just let our families know we care about them. And what does that do? That builds a deeper and longer lasting bond between us. Let me tell you why all of this is so important. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:8, he gives us this warning and admonition. Be sober, not as in long face. No, have a smile on your face. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a what? Seeking whom he may devour. He is working harder than he has ever worked to snatch our children from the Lamb's Book of Life and from us. Oh, my friends, what must we do immediately? We need to take the suggestions that were made here this morning to heart. And if you don't know who a family, call me or call Will. We'll give you a name of a family that you can start networking with. And let's make them, just shock them. Can we do that? They shocked us by leaving today. Can you imagine that? So let's turn it on. Remember, they brought us cookies, right? Or at least our widows and widowers. So let's turn the tables. Let's share with them God's wonderful grace and His gift. Let's look to, through God's grace and His love, the numerous opportunities we have to build up the body of Christ so that we are more united than ever. Quick visualization. Go back to the upper room. What had the disciples been told to do by Jesus at his ascension? Go back. Watch and pray. Pray for what? Unity. And in Acts 2, remember what it said. They were there in one accord. And suddenly, things begin to happen. There was a mighty rushing wind. Tongues of fire descended. And hearts were just lifted up in praise. And I'm sure there was a look of, what is this? And then that faded into, yes, he's here. He's here. He's here. And he is here, isn't he? We haven't seen the tongues of fire, and we haven't heard the mighty rushing wind as a group. Individually, I think some of us have experienced that. But we want that. Not just once, but we want that as an everyday experience. And let's make a covenant with each other as we continue through the month of January and beyond, talking about the importance of family. Will you make a covenant to your younger families that are meeting with Will in the other room that you're going to be praying over them? That you're going to be praying over their children? That you're going to be praying for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to descend upon them with power and to be there on a daily basis in their lives and hearts? Because we're a family of God. Let's stand together as we sing our closing hymn. I'm so glad I'm a part of what? The family of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Aren't we? All right. On the screen.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. We say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so near. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed him the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Joined hands with Jesus as we travel this sod, form part of the family of God. From the door of an orphanage to the house of the king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God.
Before closing prayer, I need three volunteers to stand at each door to collect the forms as the people are leaving. If I may have three volunteers to just cover each of those three. Great. Awesome. Let's pray. Gracious, loving Jesus, what a joy it is to be part of the family of God. You know, when we think about the Camarillo Church family, then we just push the pause button there for a moment. We allow our vision to travel. And we go to the surrounding cities. We go to their surrounding counties. We go to the state. We go to the states, we go to the world, and we think about all of the families of God that are worshiping with us today. We're reminded of how huge God's family is. But it's here that we want to make sure that you, Jesus, are at the center of every family's life, every person's life, every child's life. So, Jesus, use us this week to take our relationships with you and each other to the highest level ever. And we will carry that through until you come so that no one is left behind. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for your powerful presence with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.